Our culture is full of noise. Untrue narratives that make it easy to embrace wrong thinking. Thinking that makes us feel as though we are prisoners to our own thoughts and slaves to busyness and burnout. These lies can direct our lives into small thinking, hopeless outcomes, and cause us to see ourselves as nothing but powerless victims. But for those who are in Christ, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Fantastic. It is so good to be with you this morning, Northlands Church, and we are excited to be launching into part two of this incredible series that we started called Sound Mind. Before we jump in, I do want to say, due to the, believe it or not, the spotty reception that can be found in Uganda, I had a very quick conversation with Greg and Michelle and the team that are there, but I wanted just to give an update. Earlier in the week, I spoke with Greg and the team there, and they said they landed safely. The travel couldn't have gone smoother. They connected with Daniel and Erica and have had a great time just connecting with the leaders there, as well as I believe some of the conference sessions by the time I spoke to him had already taken place, and he said it's going exceptionally well. So I'm sorry I don't have more information than that at the moment. But we'll have more details to come next Sunday, things that we can celebrate of what the Lord's accomplishing. If you would, just as a community, would we just continue to stay in a space of prayer for obviously their safety, but just for the gospel to break out into those different nations and regions. It's so amazing that we get to be a part of those stories. So with that, I want to dive into Sound Mind Part 2. And today I want to talk about this idea of taking thoughts captive. Here's what you and I have to understand, that you and I are in a very real spiritual battle with a very real enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the father of all lies, is what John chapter 8, verse 44 says, that his native tongue is lying. He is the devil, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants you to buy into his lies, to diminish you, and to make you weak, and to not step into the call and destiny. And if you believe, well, I don't know if that's true. I don't really know if I believe in all that. I am telling you, there is a battle at hand. And the worst lie that you could believe is to believe that it doesn't exist. And so what we want to talk about today, this idea of sound mind, taking on a new mind, a new way of thinking about life, is a very, very important one. And if I can tell you just how important it is, if you'll recall, last month we had a series called New, and that whole series was focused on understanding the fact that we are in Christ, those who are in Christ are brand new creations. And so each week we looked at a new aspect, a different aspect of this new creation. We have been given a new life, we have a new hope, and we have a new heart. And if you'll notice, there was one ingredient that we didn't speak about in that series, and that was we've been given a new mind. And that's because it's such an important conversation, we decided not to just give it one Sunday, but to give it multiple Sundays and to give it an entire series to focus on. That's what this series, Sound Mind, is about, to look at what does it mean when the scripture says we've been given the mind of Christ. What does it mean when we've been given mastery over our thoughts, that we can hold thoughts captive? And so that's what we're going to look at today specifically. Now, here's why this series matters. Last week, Greg gave us a verse. If you'll remember the verse, it's Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. And I'm going to have him pull it up here. I want us to look at it. This is why this series is so important. It says this, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." Are we getting some feedback on this mic? Is it crazy? That's not me. I just want everybody to know that's not me. I took that thought captive. Boom, we're already in it. How about that? Are we back? Good. All right, fantastic. This verse, Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." Your thoughts have power. It's an amazing thing how powerful your thoughts are. They have the ability to create realities. Imagination has the ability to create a world. Now, whether it's a false reality or if it's true, that's not the point. The fact is that your thoughts and my thoughts have the ability to create a world around us that we determine to live in. But now here's what I want us to look at. There's one thing that your thoughts do not have the power to do. And that is that your thoughts and my thoughts, they do not have the power to determine your identity. What we looked at last month in New Creation, those who are in Christ, you are a new creation, which means that is not a work of your own. That was the work of the cross. That was the work of Christ. His powerful and good and perfect work that was complete on the cross, that established your identity, and that cannot change. No matter what you think, how you feel, the emotions you have, perhaps sometimes you feel, well, I feel like God is far away. I feel shame, I feel guilt, I feel condemnations. Those thoughts, they have the ability to create a false reality, but it does not have the ability to unestablish this truth that you are a son or daughter of the Most High God. Now, here's why this is so important. This is why this matters so much, that while your thoughts don't have the power to determine your identity, I believe they do have the power to determine the direction of your life. I've heard it said this way, that the choices we make, we are the sum total of the choices that we make. The actions that we decide to take on a regular basis, day in and day out, those are the things that lead us in a direction, into a destination. And we are choosing that direction and destination. Our thoughts are the beginning of that. And so if I could say it this way, the master of your thoughts will control the direction of your life. The master of your thoughts will control the direction of your life. So that's the question we have to answer first. Who is the master of your thoughts? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 24, Paul is speaking to believers, and he is speaking about the time that they were outside of Christ. Before they had given their life over to Jesus as Lord and Savior, they were outside of Christ, and he speaks of that reality that they were living in, and he tells them who was the master of their thoughts. So let's read this together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 24. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, that former life. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now hear verse 20. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and you were taught in him that the truth is in Jesus, verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and come over here, and to be renewed by the spirit of your mind, and to be put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. There was a time that you and I, we were losing the battle. That we were being mind controlled, that the one who had mastery over our thoughts and controlled us, the devil, the battle was at hand, and we needed a rescue. He put us in captivity, in a cell of small thinking, meager possibility. Don't even think about hoping for survival. You are enslaved to your sin. And that is who you were. But for those who are in Christ, Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to break us out of the prison cell. We are no longer held captive by our thoughts, by the futility of our mind. We are now completely and totally have the independence we need to think for ourselves. Why? Because you and I have been given the mind of Christ. Jesus came to set the captives free. Now, my question today, and what concerns me the most, the problem that I'm seeing, is that we have the ability to take thoughts captive. But we also have the ability to buy into the lie. And my concern is this, that there are men and women, sons and daughters of God, who have their complete and total identity established no matter what. Your salvation isn't taken away. The favor of God is with you. You are completely loved, completely bought, completely holy by him. And yet, your thoughts have not been taken captive. And it's like sitting in a prison cell with a door that's wide open. And all it's waiting for is for you to step out. Step over the threshold. And so today we have to figure out, how do we embrace fully a sound mind to take every thought that would put us into captivity and to submit it to the obedience of Christ? So that's what we're doing today. I want to preach a message that I want to call Guard the Gate. Last week, Greg preached a message called Gatekeepers of the Kingdom. And if you'll remember the picture that he gave us, he said, your mind, it is like a gatekeeper. Your mind is so fast, it is constantly moving, automatically making split-second decisions, and it's determining what is relevant information and what is irrelevant information, what you should be focusing on and meditating on, and what is unnecessary for your needs at the moment. And if you'll recall, he gave you that analogy of the chair that you're sitting in. If we think about the chair that we're sitting on right now, we all of a sudden feel the chair, right? Before, perhaps your mind was telling you to focus on my voice, or you were focusing on the words I was saying, or the screen, or the lights behind me, and you didn't actually recognize the fact that you could feel the back of the chair resting on your back. But the moment I say, mind the chair, we all feel it. We all experience it. And that's because your mind is continually saying, this is relevant information. This is irrelevant information. You don't need to focus on it. And what I want to talk about today is the fact that the father of lies, all of the things that he has to say to you is irrelevant information, because he's not speaking to us. He wants to speak to sons and daughters of God and speak to us as if they're outside of Christ. He wants to speak as if the cross never happened, as Jesus didn't come to the rescue. And everything that he speaks to us, the condemnation, the accusation, all of those things are lies because they're no longer true. At one point, we were slaves. At one point, we were in the cell. And the best thing that he can do right now is trying to convince you that you still belong in the cell. But that is not for you and me. That is not what we are called to do. This is what's so interesting. We are in a very real and spiritual battle, but the devil cannot defeat us. So what do you do with an enemy that you're fighting and you know you can't defeat them? You distract them in hopes to slow them down. He wants to bring us in front of irrelevant information in hopes that we're not focusing on the relevant information, the truth that God is calling us into and the destiny that we have. He wants to focus us in the cell that we're sitting in while God is standing on the outside calling us out into this truth. And so what we have to do is we have to be able to understand what is irrelevant lies from the enemy and what is the truth that God is calling us into. Today, I want to break the mindset of small thinking and meager possibility. I want us all to run out of whatever prison cell we are currently in. I want us to cast down the lie of settling or for survival, because we're not here just to survive, but to thrive. Today is about taking every thought captive and allowing any thought that is not in the mind of God to not allow it through the gate. We are going to guard the gate. I love what Greg said last week. He said, I cannot afford to have any thought in my mind that is not in the mind of God. Any thought that does not begin, that was not birthed out of the mind of God, it is a lie. And we will not embrace it. It is irrelevant information. So here's where I want us to go. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Paul, he's writing about this very battle that we are in. And it's a spiritual battle. It's not a battle of the flesh or of physical means. It is a very spiritual battle. And it is of divine forces in the spiritual realm. And he starts using language of military tactics to describe the way in which the enemy would attack us with his lies. And this is what he says. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power. Some translations say mighty in God. That word power, it's from the Greek dunamis, and it's where we get the word dynamite. You and I have a divine power of a weapon, and it's as easy to use as lighting a fuse and tossing it in the direction of your choice. That's some power. What are we here to use that power for? It says this: to destroy strongholds, and we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and to take every thought captive to obey Christ. Today, as we talk about this spiritual battle, there are three military words that I want us to look at in that passage of Scripture, things that I want us to focus on. I want to look at strongholds, I want to look at that word arguments or lofty opinions, and I want to look at the word captive. We'll close with that word captive today. But I want us to understand the enemy is attacking us, and this is how we beat him. What do you do with an enemy who cannot defeat you? You cannot be defeated because of this reason. You are in Christ, and he cannot remove you from that. Any loss that we experience in this life, that is not defeat. Anything that we experience of pain and discomfort, that is not defeat. The only way that he could possibly defeat us is if he could somehow remove us from the hand of God, and that is impossible. So you cannot be defeated. So what he's going to try and do is he's going to distract us with certain types of lies. And that first lie is it's a stronghold. And I want to talk about the lies of strongholds that are in our lives. So if we could look at that first word, strongholds. These are lies that are deeply established in our life. If I could, the military word that Paul is talking about, the definition of a stronghold is a place that has been secured, like a fortified maximum holding prison, or a place where a particular belief or ideology is firmly believed and staunchly defended. So as the enemy sees lies and creating strongholds in our minds and in our lives, here's how I would define it for him. Defining the stronghold of the enemy, it's thoughts that are deeply rooted and established, lies that are in our mind that have always just been there. They're in our past, they're in our present, and if we don't stop something right now, they're going to be in our future. And this is why, because they come with sentences like, well, I could never do that. Or it's always been this way. Or Tyler, you don't understand my past. If you understood my past, you would give me a buy on this one. It runs in my family. I can't control that. It's genetic. This is what my grandfather faced. This is what my great-grandfather faced. My father faced. This is what I'll face. This is what my kids will probably face. It's not something that I can do anything about. I don't have control over this aspect of my life. The master of your thoughts will control and dictate the direction of your life. And the thing about a stronghold, it is a very prominent thought. It has the ability to take hold, take root, and it begins to dictate the choices that you and I make in our life. And it's controlling us. Strongholds, they help, they push us down and they keep us small in the cell. If I could say it this way, the walls of a stronghold that surround your life, they're the walls of too little. They make you think too little about yourself. They make you think too little about the purpose that God has called you to. They make you think too little about God. They make you think too little about the thoughts that God has for you. Continually whispering to you, this is why you're too weak for that. You can't step out. You can't experience what's on the other side of this cell. Don't do that. And then it whispers to you. It's so mighty and gripping, and it's so subtle at the same time. It tries to convince you that, man, you don't want to step out of here. This is a comfortable space. This is a familiar space. It's safe in here. Out there, it's unknown. It's so big. You want to stay small. Don't go out there. It's continually whispering to you that you couldn't possibly live in that kind of freedom because of the fact that your resources are limited, because God doesn't actually care. He's not gonna watch out for you out there in the great unknown. He wants to keep you small. I heard it said this way from a pastor. I've quoted him multiple times on this because it just rings so true about this very subject. Pastor Levi Lusco, he says, we lie to ourselves about these strongholds. We don't call them strongholds because that's not Christian. What we do is we call them our comfort zones. Well, I just, you know, this is how it's been in my family. This is how we operate. And this is what he says about comfort zones. Don't lie to yourself and tell yourself that comfort zones keep you safe. They don't keep you safe. They keep you small. They convince you that this is a normal way of living, that this is familiar, that this is safe. Can I just take a moment? This is not normal. You don't see it. Let me see it. This is not a normal way of living your life. And yet you were once enslaved to sin, and then you were set free. And now you're trying to distinguish what is normal and what is not normal. Please hear this. Please hear this. Do not buy into the lie of the enemy that staying in the cell is keeping the bad things out. It's not keeping the bad things out. It's keeping you from accessing the good things that God has for you. An indecision to stay put where it's safe and familiar is a decision. It is not playing it safe. It is not acceptable. It is not fitting for children of God. It is controlling and dictating your actions. So, how do we break a stronghold? This is an interesting conversation for me. How do you break the grip of a stronghold? Here it is. You ready? In order to break the grip of a stronghold, you have to take a defiant action against a stronghold. Hear this thought. In order to overcome a thought that is dictating your actions, you will need to take an action that is defiant against that thought. That was worth more than the response I got. I don't say that often, but that, no, it's too late now. Don't be nice now. No. That was supposed to set some people. I worked hard on that back and forth of wording. Work with me here. I'll say it one more time. In order to overcome the thought that is dictating your action or inaction, it's going to require that you take an action that is standing in defiance of that thought. Now, you didn't have to say it like that. If I can give this analogy, when Nicole and I got married, we were young and in love, and we were still in college, so we didn't have money. So it was a whole thing, and things were things were incredibly tight financially. And so one of the things that was our dream, the space that we made a vow when we got married, we wanted to, when we die, we wanted to be known. One of the hallmarks of our lives, we wanted to be known as a generous couple. And it's incredibly difficult to consider yourself generous when you have money for food, bills, and gas in the car to get to work and repeat. And that's kind of the life we were living. Now here's what was happening, though, is the financial strain and the crisis we have. There's seasons of life where that's just simply a reality. But it was beginning to set in my soul especially. And every time we talked about money, every time that we talked about finances, I felt myself continually getting more and more gripped, continually pushing myself down more and more and more and saying, just small. I don't know how else to say that. Every time, something in me just started closing up. And it caused strife, it caused frustration. And so anytime I had to use money, I felt this pushing down, this smallness come over me. And I'm walking through the store one day, and as I'm walking in, I'm buying our groceries, and by groceries, I mean 40 packs of ramen, because it's $2.50 for 40. It's a great sale, and that's, we lived on love and ramen. And as I'm walking, and as I'm just like not even looking forward to handing my card over to charge for that, as I'm walking to the checkout, I feel the Lord say, I want you to stop and get flowers for Nicole. And I go, Lord, we don't have money for silly things that are going to die tomorrow. How crazy is that? Flowers are like $10.99 at Publix. I was so gripped that $11 was going to kill me. I was like, no, not in the budget. So I get them anyway. And as I'm walking out, and now I'm even more, he goes, I want you to get a pack of Nutty Buddies. See? Don't act like you don't know. Who knows what Nutty Buddies are? Oh, delicious ice creams come in a pack, Nestle. They're not Whole30, but they're worth it. It's an eight, come in an eight pack, little ice cream cones, and Nicole and I absolutely love them. And the Lord was like, you need to treat yourself. Get a pack of Nutty Buddies, $4.50, however much they were. So now I'm just ticked. I've got flowers and I've got ice cream. Do you know what happened to me? At the end of the month, if it was March or whenever it was, we made it to April just fine. And the Lord brought that back to me and he said, you made it, and your finances weren't controlling you. You stepped out. For $17.50, I found some freedom in my finances. Do you know what that meant, though? The Lord continually reminded me month after month after month. We didn't have a lot of money to spend, but every time I felt a grip on the finances, I'd grab my keys, babe, I'm going to the store and getting some Nutty Buddies. And that was my defiant action. You're saying, Tyler, that wasn't grand. That didn't change anything. That didn't change your problem. It wasn't about changing the financial problem. Hear this. The defiant action is not about changing a problem that you have or changing the circumstances of your life. It's about changing you. It's about shifting something on the inside of you. In 2012, this was like right at the time Nicole and I had stepped onto eldership here, and I was nervous about public speaking and things like communion and taking up the offering or doing a message. It really freaked me out. And I felt the Lord, he goes, you know you're called to ministry, right? And I said, yep. He said, so when are you going to actually volunteer and preach? I was like, not today. I'm not going to do that today. That's crazy. And he challenged me with this. He said, every time you get an invitation, the answer is always yes. I want you to clear your schedule no matter what. And I want you to take that on and say, yep, I'll do it. No matter how busy and chaotic your life is getting, if they say, hey, Sunday, can you do this? Can you share a testimony? Can you do this? I want you to get up and do it. The answer is yes. And for the next 2 to 3 years, that was my life. Moments of just anxiousness, sleepless nights, moments. But it was about saying yes. Do you want to know why? Because the invitation to communicate, the invitation of, hey, Tyler, would you do communion? It wasn't asking me, would you do communion? It was saying, Tyler, are you called to preach the gospel? And every time I was in that prison cell, feeling small and feeling helpless and feeling the anxiousness and the fear and the worry, the Lord said, take a defiant action. Yes. nutty buddy. In order to break a stronghold, in order to break a thought in your mind of why you can't, the boundaries that have been set for you in this small space, in order to break that hold, it's going to require you taking a defiant action. A thought that is controlling your life can be broken with an action that is a defiance against the stronghold. Today, I believe the Lord is inviting you to take a defiant action. What stronghold is on your life? What stronghold, when a subject matter comes up in your life, you begin to shrink back? I can't do that. That's not for me. That's for somebody else. When you start feeling this, do something counterintuitive. Push back against it. Even if it's a small thing like buying a box of ice creams, that's a defiant action. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. It is not about the resources you have. It's not about the education that you have. It's not about your skill sets. It's not about your giftedness. All of those things are in the flesh, and we are not fighting a battle of the flesh. Your strengths and your weaknesses are not the point. The circumstances and the problem of your life do not need to be resolved in order for you to break hold off of a stronghold. All that needs to happen is for you to allow the Lord to speak to you and ask the Lord, Lord, give me a defiant action. I love this picture. It is not requiring your strength, and it's not even requiring you to be a person full of faith and charge. All it's requiring is for you to hear the whisper of the Lord and to make a distinct step of obedience towards him. Where is the Lord leading? Where do you hear him whispering out of the jail cell? Now take a step. That's defiant, and it breaks strongholds. Amen. In a moment in my life, looking back at those stories, where I didn't have much control over my current circumstances, those steps, the steps that you need to take, they're not about those circumstances at all. They're about the fact that you can take control over. Let me say it again. In a moment in my life where I didn't have much control over my current circumstances, I was not going to let those circumstances take control of me. All right, so the second word that I want us to bring out, that was strongholds. Now I want to talk about arguments and lofty opinions that raise themselves up against the knowledge of God. If we can go to that slide. When it comes to arguments and lofty opinions, what's so fascinating about this word is Paul talks about strongholds, and we hear that word and we're like, that's a fortress, that sounds very military. But arguments is actually a military term as well. Do you know what the word argument means? It means campaign. It means the enemy is campaigning in lies against you and me. Campaign, a military campaign, it is a continual effort of strategic attacks. In other words, these are thoughts that are constantly bombarding you and speaking against you. They are trying to force you into a wrong direction or distract you from taking the right direction. This word campaign, a strategic and continual attacks, it's something that was adopted by marketing and sales industries. So you've heard, oh, we're doing a marketing campaign. That's the exact same concept. Concept, yeah, that's the word. It's this idea that I'm going to send you a narrative continually again and again and again and again and again and again and again until you buy into the product. So you've seen this. If you have a computer, if you have a smartphone, those ads that pop up on Instagram or on Facebook or any social media platforms, when those ads pop up, you are entering into a marketing campaign. They want to tell you a story in hopes that you buy into it. Or you get an email in your inbox. That is a part of the marketing campaign. They hope that you open it up, read the story, or watch the video and hope that it would seduce you into buying into the product. A mailer, junk mail that we call them, these are all marketing campaigns. And all they're trying to do is they don't need you to buy into all of the messages. They just need to float the one by you to see if you'll buy in. What's fascinating to me about this is we absolutely have the ability to take any thought that flows by us or floats by us to take it captive. My concern, though, is that sometimes we buy into the narrative that our portion is small, that the best we can hope for is survival. And somewhere along the campaign, we take hold of the enemy's trap. And even though your identity is completely and totally locked in place, you're thinking like a slave. Because you've bought into a story that is of a slave mentality. We have to guard against the campaign. How do we break the hold of an enemy's campaign? Well, just like a marketing campaign, I believe this. We have the ability, when you get that email in and you're like, I have no desire whatsoever for, can I tell you one of the things that I got? I got in the mail a picture from Instagram, an ad, of a guy who had a shoulder holster. And before you're like, well, we don't believe in guns or whatever your stance is, it wasn't a holster for a firearm. It was a holster to hold your cell phone and your wallet. If that's you, that's fine. But the statement was from Instagram is, Tyler, this is something that you would like because it's so like you. That's offensive to me. I did not appreciate the message it was sending. I sent it to all my close friends. I was like, guys, is this me? The enemy wants you to buy into a lie. How do you break those kind of holds? You have all the power, the mastery of your thoughts to click unsubscribe. It is completely and totally in your hands. You do not have to put up with mail in your inbox. And guess what? You don't even have to delete it from your mail and hope that it doesn't come again. So when they keep sending you a message, so it's like, oh, well, I have to just manage the tension of deleting the emails as they come through. No. We take every thought captive. We control what comes in the inbox. I click unsubscribe, don't send it again. Absolutely. So how do we break the hold of an enemy's campaign? We resist. How do you break the hold of an enemy's campaign? You resist. I love what James chapter 4, verse 7 says. It says this, submit yourself, therefore, to God, to God's truth. We're going to talk about that next week. And resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, how do I resist the devil? I want to take us to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 is where I'll start. I want to read this passage of scripture. And I want to look at the fact that we have been given power. That word dunamis, dynamite. It is such a powerful statement because just like dynamite, lighting a fuse and throwing it, that is nothing for us. Anybody can do that. And all the work is done in the explosion of the dynamite. And you've been given weapons of mass destructions because of Jesus, the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God. You have perfect recall for any situation to pull out the truth of God's word. This is what you've been given as a new creation and a follower of Jesus. And it's that easy. Watch the power of God at work, not because of your own work, but because of the mighty work of Jesus. So, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Resist. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Verse 16, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now watch verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For those who are in Christ, who have salvation in Christ, you have been given a helmet that guards your mind. You have the mind of Christ. The enemy, you are able to stand guard with complete confidence because the enemy cannot break through. He cannot disrupt what you've been given in the salvation of Jesus. You are a son, a daughter of God. Stand firm. The enemy cannot and will not be able to break through that helmet. And the sword of the Spirit, this is where we're going into next week, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the truth of God's word. An enemy who can't defeat us will try and distract us with lies. But do you really think in a street fight, the lies of the enemy could possibly stand against the truth of God's word speaking to you? You and I are in a battle, and when the enemy attacks, we draw out the truth of God's word. I love what John verse 8 to 31 says. We don't have it on the slide. It's just a very brief statement. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Now here, verse 32. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. You have the ability to take every thought captive. by listening to and being obedient to the word of God. Tyler, how do I know what is a lie from the enemy, and how do I know what is the word of God? Okay, this is one of the things that people use this as an excuse when it comes to strongholds. They ask the question, well, Tyler, you know, the reason I don't move is because I don't want to step out of the will of God. So spiritual. Tyler, how do I know that what I'm being called into is not just the enemy trying to ensnare me? What if I step out and I risk and I lose everything? Was that the devil? The way you can tell if it's the devil or if it's the enemy, this is what I've not even asked the question this year. There's been some things that I've just tacked onto my life of, hey, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. And I haven't even asked the Lord, is this your will for my life? What I have asked is, as I'm sitting there and thinking about the opportunity that approaches me, is I ask myself, is it expanding me? Is it a promise of increasing the borders? Is it leading me into a bigger version of myself? Is it helping me stretch and grow in capacity? Or is it a whisper of small accusation? If when an opportunity comes, it brings anxiety, that's a lie from the enemy. But if it's a call to dream bigger, that rush that you're feeling, that's just the Holy Spirit of God. It's not anxiety. Don't let the enemy lie to you about that. I believe today with all of my heart that the Lord is calling you to take a defiant action and to step out of the prison cell. Next week, I want to talk about what happens when we get out of the cell. I want to preach a message about opening the gate and embracing the truth of God's word and allowing it to fill our minds and to create futures of endless possibility. But the first thing we have to do is we have to take a step out of the prison. You are not captive. There is no one taking mastery over your thought any longer because you have the mind of Christ. I want to do this in closing. I hope it's okay, but I want to do this because today I'm inviting you this week. Would you ask the Lord, are there any strongholds that I'm excusing as just a comfort zone? Is there any stronghold that's currently in my life that causes anxiety and makes me feel small? I want you to ask the Lord, what is a defiant action against it? And I want to start today, right now, in this moment. If we could, I would love to pray for us, but I want to ask us, I'll tell you when, but I want to take a moment where we all at the same time, where we all stand up. And it's a statement, when we stand up, it's a statement of saying, I'm not going to stay in the prison cell anymore. If we weren't in rows, stuck in rows, I'd tell us to step forward. But because we're in rows, I want to make a statement. Today, we're not going to be small. We will not let small thinking and meager possibilities block the future and the destiny that God has for us as individuals and as a community in this church. This city needs a church that is standing firm, embracing all of the destiny that God has for us, living endless possibilities. I love what Greg said last week, that thoughts have the ability to either paralyze you or propel you into your destiny. And we are going to choose as a people today to step into that destiny. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit with you and pretend to sit with you. But can we do this on the count of three? We're going to stand up in defiance. It's a way of sticking it to the man. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. If you are in Christ, you are a brand new creation. The old is gone and done away with. You no longer have to stay there. That word captive, I don't want to forget that word captive as we're closing out. You know what that word captive means? It means to take under arrest. You and I have the ability to take every thought captive. The thing that once was so huge in your mind and made you feel very small, you now have the ability to step out of it, take hold of it, and make it captive. To put it in a cell where it once made you feel small, you now make it small and irrelevant. You're going to go into the future. This time next year, I can guarantee you this. This time next year with defiant actions, you will not be in the same place this time next year. And when you look back, those things that were so huge, those lies of the enemy that seem so big and so ginormous, they will look like small ants in your background, in your rear view. Because you have the power to take those thoughts captive. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for today. Thank you for what you are teaching us as a people in this series of taking hold of a sound mind, to change the way we think, Lord. I love that word repentance. It means take a new mind, to think differently about all things of life, Lord, I pray against any sort of small thinking, meager possibilities, anything that would cause us to shrink back. You have caused us to step forward in your truth and into your freedom and into your glorious future for our lives. You do not think small thoughts and you do not create small people. You create warriors, big thinking, big possibility, risk takers, stepping into the unknowns, building futures, creating new vision for people's lives. We have the ability not only to take thoughts captive of our own lives, but to take other people's thoughts captives that are keeping them held back. And so today as a people, we stand up and say enough is enough. We take a defiant action against any stronghold that would defy or raise up against the knowledge and truth of God's word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you, Tyler.